Can children stand strong in the grace of God? I believe so. And we're going to talk about that today. Some advice to our young people. I'm actually going to be preaching to you children and teenagers today. The adults can listen in if they want to, but I'm preaching to you young ones today. This is just for you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the young people that you've given to us here in this place. They really belong to you. And so we pray that as they grow, they will have a sense of your presence in their life and your will for their living. Help us today in this study to give them some advice to contribute to this. We pray for your help, that your Holy Spirit might be our teacher through your word, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Too many people give children too little credit for what they are capable of. Even Christians are surprised to find out that little children can memorize scripture. Here at North Hills Bible Church, they begin to memorize scripture at the age of two. Some of them may be memorizing before that at home. Some of them can barely speak, I guess, enough by the age of two to memorize scripture, but they do. They memorize it. Especially since World War II in the 1940s, with parents who had grown up during the Depression and endured a world war, so many of them wanted a better life for their children than they experienced. In the process, our culture has developed the philosophy that children are to be pampered and coddled rather than taught to learn, to work, and to be responsible. Through time, though, there are a lot of young people who have demonstrated the ability to learn, to work, and to be responsible. At the age of 15, Susan B. Anthony, you maybe studied about her in history, began teaching school at the age of 15. At the age of 15, Thomas Edison, do you ever hear of him? Became the manager of a telegraph office at the age of 15. At the age of 14, a boy named Jim, built his own motor scooter. He bought two wheels and then designed and built the entire chassis, including brakes, twist, grip, throttle, clutch, jack shaft, and drivetrain, whatever those things are, I have no idea. After buying and installing a new Briggs & Stratton engine from Sears, back in those days you could buy anything from Sears, he applied for and received a title and license from the state of Michigan. That was in the year 1938. Today he's 80 years old. At age 13, composer John Philip Sousa became an apprentice to the U.S. Marine Band. At age 12, Thomas Edison sold newspapers and began performing electrical and mechanical experiments in his spare time. At age 12, Ludwig von Beethoven began being an assistant organist. At age 11, Victoria Meter became the youngest girl ever to pilot a plane across the United States. At age 10, Swiss psychologist Jean Piaget published a scientific article based on observations of an albino sparrow that lived near his home. And at age 9, Daisy Ashford wrote her first novel. At age 9, it sold 200,000 copies. Young people can do a lot of things, including receiving Christ as their Savior at very early ages. And they can stand strong in the grace of God. There was a young fellow named David Moss that was saved at the age of 9, was president of his youth group at the age of 13, knew that God had called him to be a pastor at the age of 15, and preached his first sermon at the age of 17. God can work in young people's lives. I'm going to give you 3 words from Peter today. Obedience, desire, and submission. Obedience, desire, and submission. And we're going to learn how to stand strong in the grace of God with these 3 words. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. As obedient children. The word obedience comes from Latin. And in Latin, the word obedience was a compound word. Ob, in Latin means to or towards. Edience in Latin means to hear. Obedience in Latin means to hear towards, or as we would say it, to listen to. That's interesting. Peter uses obedient children as an illustration for responsible behavior in the Christian life, assuming that children are obedient. You can be a testimony to adults as to what it means to live responsibly in the Christian life. So what is an obedient child? Based on the definition of the word obedience from Latin, an obedient child is a child who actually hears what their parents say and immediately responds by doing what their parents tell them to do. 2 parts to obedience: hear and do. Go back to Genesis chapter 27 and verse 8. It's a concept that is talked about throughout the Bible, actually, hearing and doing, this matter of obedience. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 8. When Rebekah was talking to her son Jacob, she said, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice." That's the concept of obedience. Obey my voice. I hear what my parent says, and I respond. I hear what anyone who is in authority over me says, and I immediately respond. God said this to the nation of Israel over in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. As the Israelites were gathering at Mount Sinai and God was going to speak to the nation of Israel, God the Father, speaking to his children, the nation of Israel, said this in Exodus 19 and verse 5. "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice." Jesus said something similar over in John chapter 10 and verse 27. John chapter 10 and verse 27, where he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, he didn't use the word obey, but the concept is there. The shepherd speaks. The sheep hear his voice, and they follow. What did the shepherd say? Remember, he did say to some, come and follow me. To hear what is actually being said, to actually hear what is being said, and to immediately respond. And so, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Once again, there are two parts to obedience. You hear and you do. Now, it's often easy for you young folks to get distracted and to become very occupied with doing something, playing with toys, playing games, playing video games, fiddling with your cell phones. It seems like every child in the world has a cell phone now these days, almost. I don't know. If it's not a cell phone, it's a little, some kind of a gadget to play games on. You can get so focused on all of that that you can easily block out the sound of your parents' voice. You might know that your parent is talking, but you have not made your parent's voice a priority. Suppose you're in a store and the fire alarm goes off. And those things are really loud, and it's obvious when the fire alarm goes off. And everybody else is rushing out the door because the fire alarm goes off. And you say, "Oh, that's no big deal. Can't be that important. I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing." You wouldn't do that, would you? The fire alarm becomes a priority. You hear it, you respond. Right? Well, while we hope your parents' voice doesn't sound quite like a fire alarm, we do hope that your parents' voice is a priority, that when you hear it, you hear your parents' voice, and your parent is telling you to do something, that you immediately drop whatever you're doing and you respond. The Israelites didn't want to hear the voice of God. In that context, in Exodus chapter 19, and then going over to Exodus chapter 20, where the Israelites were at Mount Sinai, and God spoke to them from the mountain. The people went to Moses and said, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." We don't want to hear the voice of God. And so God said this regarding the Israelites over in Psalm 81 in verse 11, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me." Young people, God wants you to hear his voice. Now here's an interesting bit of advice. Learning to listen to your parents' voice and obeying your parents' voice is training for you to hear the voice of God and obey him. If you don't know how to respond to your parents, how are you ever going to respond to God? There's a reason that God designed the family so that there would be parents and there would be children. Young people, your parents are God's instrument in your life to teach you how to live for him. And learning how to respond to your parents is an exercise in learning how to respond to God. We teach children this song, "Obedience is the very best way." Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it, what's that word? Happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Obedience. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire. Now, we're not going to focus on the newborn babes part this morning. We're going to focus on the word desire. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Desire is the I want part of a person. Have you ever wanted anything? We want to eat. We want to sleep. We want to be healthy. We want to be comfortable. We want to be happy. There are all kinds of things we want in life. Some people want to be rich. Some people want to be famous. And some people want to be powerful. Now, wanting all of these things may not be necessarily wrong, but wanting the wrong kinds of things can lead, even wanting certain things can lead us to do some very bad things in order to obtain them. So we need to be careful and guard our hearts as to what it is we really want. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 9. He talks about two things here, the sight of the eyes and the wandering of the desire. He says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. The sight of the eyes in this context is referring to being content with what you have right in front of you. That's why the sight of the eyes is better than the wandering of the desire. What you have right in front of you, what you actually possess, that's the sight of your eyes. And God tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 that godliness with contentment is great gain. The wandering of the desire, on the other hand, speaks of a discontent. That is a constant yearning for something else or something more. Have your parent, when you were young, parents take you to a toy store? Have you nagged your parents with every other toy on the shelf? I want this. No, I want this. Well, I want this. I want that one. When I was a child, Sears used to send out a Christmas catalog. Do you remember? How many remember that? Christmas, oh yeah, they don't do that anymore. Christmas catalog. I couldn't wait for the Christmas catalog to come. And I flipped through every single page of the toy section of the Christmas catalog and made my list. Generated a lot of wanting in children's lives back in those days. I don't think I ever got anything out of the catalog, but it was fun going through that book and looking at it, but I'm not sure it was the best thing in the world to stir up all that wanting in children. Because the wandering of desire can get a person into a lot of trouble. You can want things that you can't afford, and it might lead you to stealing. You can want things that are harmful for you, which might lead you to becoming sick or even worse. You can want things that belong to someone else, which may lead to coveting and envy and bitterness and all kinds of attitude problems in your life. Peter warned against this in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Applied to children, of course, this has a certain application to adults, but applied to children, we might say that the cursed children in this case are those who are subject to spanking. Have you been spanked? I know it's not politically correct to talk about that these days, but the Bible talks about it. Book of Proverbs says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And I'm afraid we have a world of adults who didn't have foolishness driven from their hearts. In Proverbs 10, verse 13, it says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Children, you need to learn to desire the right things. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it tells you to desire the sincere milk of the Word. The Word of God is the best thing that you can desire in your life. And a child is quite capable of learning the Word of God. We saw that demonstrated this morning in our Sunday school hour, didn't we? How children can learn the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. So first, we must learn to hear the voice of those who are in authority over us, particularly our parents, and respond immediately in order to learn how to respond to the voice of God. And where do we find the voice of God? We find it in His Word. And so the Word of God is the best thing you could ever desire in your life. Third term, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now, this might sound similar to obedience, obey, and submit. The word is submit or submission. But I want you to notice as we read on in the verse that it is not only the younger that is to be in subjection to the elder, but all of us are to be in subjection to one another. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. The idea here in this verse is in regards to a matter of respect. Being subject one to another is the exercise in respecting one another. To look at a person as having real value and to treat a person as worth your attention. Why should you bother to listen to your parents? Why should you bother to listen to your teachers? Why should you bother to listen to a policeman? Why should you bother to listen to anyone in authority? Why should you bother to pay attention during a sermon? It is a matter of respect. One element in human society where respect can quickly erode is between youth and their elders. I found this article written by Andrea Lowe, who is a junior in high school. This is a young person who wrote this. She wrote it on November the 30th in 2015. She was a junior in high school, just a teenager. She writes, "In one of my classes, my teacher told one girl who had been on her phone the entire class time to put it on his desk. The girl simply smirked and put it away in her pocket, only to have it out again a few minutes later. This attitude is that of one who doesn't think a teacher should ever tell her what to do. These are people who typically think they can do anything, and no adult has the right to tell them otherwise. In another class, which was combined AP and honors, there was one notorious student who would always talk back to the teacher in class with no shame. Whenever the teacher called on her to read a passage, she would look at the teacher with scorn and refuse to say anything, or would say, 'Mister, are you serious? This was an honors class?' On YouTube," she says, "I searched 'student bullies teacher,' and I watched a video titled 'Female teacher bullied and harassed by entire class in Chicago.' And it is an absolute disgrace and horror to see students treat a teacher this way by making horribly rude comments. I noticed that at one point a student held up a desk over the teacher's head. Additionally, the person recording the video made no attempt to help or console the teacher and even laughed at students' antics." God says that disrespect is part of a corrupt society. In Isaiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, he's describing some terrible conditions. And he includes this statement in verse 5, "The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient." It's a description of a corrupt society. The Bible says the children ought to respect their elders. You remember the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. "Honor thy father and mother." It simply means to respect them. To treat them as worth your attention. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God." Now, the hoary head is just like mine. Gray hair. I have a biblical head of hair. It's a hoary head. Head of gray hair. When it says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head," it means that when an older man with gray hair walks into the room, you stand up out of respect for him. Now, there was a time when people did that, even in American culture. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have to change, you know, try to go back to the 1800s culture. But there's a principle here. Young people ought to respect their elders. It's a biblical principle. "A wise son," Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1, "heareth his father's instruction." Proverbs 23 verse 22, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee." And over in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verses 1 and 2, Paul addresses the kind of relationship there ought to be between the various age groups in a church family. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." The kind of respect that you would render to your own father, young people, you ought to render to every person that is older than you within the church family or even within human society. There was a time when adults would shrink in horror if a child would address an adult by their first name. It was always Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. While our society has attempted to indoctrinate us with a casual approach to human relationships, they have torn down the tenets of respect, especially from young people to older. But we continue with that song. We teach the children in verse 2, obedience is the very best way, where it says, we want to live pure, we want to live clean, we want to do our best, sweetly submitting to authority, leaving to God the rest. Walking in the light, keep our attitudes right on the narrow way. For if you believe the word you receive, you always will obey. Children, teenagers, you actually have the capacity to be a testimony for the effect God's grace has on a person's life who believes in Jesus Christ. You have that capacity. You have that ability to be a testimony of standing strong in the grace of God. As part of that testimony, there are these three things. Obedience, where you actually pay attention to your parents and others in authority over you, and you promptly respond by doing what you are directed to do. Desire. You demonstrate in your life that the Bible is the thing you desire most of all to mold your life into something that pleases God. And submission, where you consistently respect all of your elders. And when people see you as young people, live like this. They might ask you why, and you'll have the opportunity to be ready to give a reason of the faith that is within you and tell them it's because you believe in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these young people. And I pray that these things will be instilled within their hearts, that they will sense your working in them, so that they will be able to respond to your voice and obey your word. That they will desire your word with all their heart. And that they will respect you so much that that will be reflected in their relationship with others. I pray these things to be true in our young people's lives And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.